What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Rifts in Europe, with EU leaders set to clash over energy prices. Plus, central banks are raising rates at a quick clip. What's that mean for debt holders? And tech giant Samsung reports a drop in quarterly profits.
When Samsung is feeling under the weather, you can bet that most of the rest of the sector is also suffering too.
It is Friday, October 7th. I'm Peter Granitz at the Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. European Union leaders meeting in Prague today are set to clash over energy prices, a rift that could test Europe's solidarity in response to Russia's war in Ukraine. Italy and several other countries are expected to square off against Germany, as heavily indebted countries fear that their wealthier neighbors will gain an unfair edge by supporting their businesses and consumers. Kim McCrail is a reporter for the Wall Street Journal covering the summit.
Those countries have been calling for a cap on gas prices across the EU. Some of them even want to talk about common borrowing. Germany's resisted both of those ideas so far. So that sets the leaders up for some tough conversations during the summit today.
A member of the Proud Boys has pleaded guilty to charges of seditious conspiracy for his role in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, providing a boost to federal prosecutors ahead of a December trial against other members of the far-right group. Jeremy Bertino is the first Proud Boy to enter a guilty plea during a court hearing on Thursday, according to a Justice Department press release. He's agreed to cooperate with the government's investigation into the attack, and he may be called as a witness in the trial of five other Proud Boys set to begin in December. J.P. Davis, a defense lawyer for Bertino, declined to comment. Crypto exchange Binance said an estimated $100 million was stolen in a hack of its blockchain network. Transactions and fund transfers have been suspended temporarily on the Binance Smart Chain. Binance CEO Zhengping Zhao said that the issue is contained now and people's funds were safe. The hack was a so-called cross-chain bridge, which allows the transfer of digital assets from one blockchain to another. Cross-chain hacks have become more common recently. Data firm Chainalysis says about $2 billion has been stolen in cross-chain hacks this year. We are exclusively reporting that a Delaware judge presiding over the clash between Elon Musk and Twitter has postponed a trial in the matter, adding fresh uncertainty to efforts to close the $44 billion deal. The surprise ruling, granting a request by Musk, effectively ends negotiations for a settlement that would allow the parties to quickly close the deal. Musk now has until October 28th to do so. Chancellor Kathleen McCormick said if the deal does not close by that date, the parties should contact her to schedule a November trial. Twitter said in a response to the ruling that it looks forward to closing the transaction at the originally agreed upon $54.20 a share by October 28th. And this year's Nobel Peace Prize was awarded jointly to detained activist Alice Bialyetsky from Belarus, Russian human rights organization Memorial, and the Ukrainian Center for Civil Liberties. The Norwegian Nobel Committee recognized their efforts to promote the right to criticize power and protect the fundamental rights of citizens. South Korean tech giant Samsung expects to see a drop in profit. The chip and smartphone maker forecasts third quarter profit to be about $7.7 billion. That is almost a third lower than it was last year at this time. For more about what this means for the company and the broader tech industry, we are joined by editor Quentin Webb. Quentin, it's good to talk to you again.
Hi there.
What did the company say accounts for the drop in profit?
Well, the drop in profit is a reflection basically of two things. On the one hand, we saw this pandemic boom, this big boom in demand for tech of all sorts, and that is kind of fading away now. And so as that boom fades, that's hitting Samsung and others. And the second thing is, of course, that, you know, consumers are becoming more cautious because they're grappling with higher prices, grappling with this big inflation issue. So those two things together are sort of weighing on Samsung and the electronics industry more broadly.
We are talking about Samsung because it is a bellwether for the electronics industry. More broadly, it supplies the likes of Apple. So what's the drop in profits say for the broader sector?
Well, I mean, it is hard to overstate how important Samsung is. It's not just a very big player in smartphones. It's also very big in televisions. It is a big supplier to other key players in the industry, as you say, like Apple, a big supplier of memory chips, for example. So when Samsung is feeling under the weather, you can bet that most of the rest of the sector is also suffering too.
And other chip makers aren't faring so well either, right?
That's right. So we had AMD, a big US chip maker, this week cut its revenue forecast for the third quarter. So, you know, in that guidance cut, they also talked about PC demand tailing off. So yes, there are different bits of the same picture, but they are also sort of worrying about the strength of demand.
That is the Journal's Quentin Webb. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much.
Coming up, central banks are raising rates at their fastest clip in four decades. What's in store for lending as banks try to tame inflation? That's after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The blunt tool that is raising interest rates to cool growth and tame inflation has a lot of downsides, a loss of personal savings and household wealth among them, and also threats to lending. Central banks are raising borrowing rates at the fastest clip in 40 years, and as the Journal's Chelsea Delaney reports, stress signs are emerging in economies across the globe. And Chelsea is with us now. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Chelsea, isn't it the goal of raising rates to slow lending? Are we surprised by this?
It's not a surprise. Of course, what the Federal Reserve, what central banks around the world are all trying to do is really tackle inflation. And the way you do that is to slow the economy. So they're trying to get people to stop consuming so much. They're trying to get businesses to take fewer loans. So in some degree, this is effective. But the risk for the Fed and other central banks is that they don't have a crystal ball and that they can't predict exactly what happens when you start to raise interest rates, especially at an aggressive pace as they're doing now. And when you start to withdraw money from the system, withdraw credit from the system this quickly, unexpected things start to happen. And there are these pockets of vulnerability that the Fed and other central banks often don't see. And unfortunately, just happens essentially every time the Fed starts to raise rates, something breaks.
What are some of those unforeseen things that could break?
I think everybody is trying to figure this out right now. And, you know, talking to investors, economists, traders, everybody is looking around the world and saying, okay, where are the weak spots? One we've seen very clearly here in the UK in the past couple of weeks was the pensions industry. And not many people saw this coming. There had been some warnings that pensions had taken on a lot of leveraged bets. So they were doing a lot of trading. Essentially, they were investing with borrowed money. And some had been concerned about that. So there are these pockets of leverage and, you know, people, pensions, investors doing things with borrowed money, derivative constructs, these sort of complicated parts of the market where there's hidden debt. And that's where investors, economists are all trying to figure out where these next weak spots could be.
So one weak spot is people's retirement, these pensions. What about the corporate front? I mean, corporate debt has grown considerably in recent years as rates were so low for so long. What's the concern on the corporate front?
Yeah, as you said, there has been a massive buildup in corporate debt in the US, all over the world in the past couple of years. And a lot of companies that were maybe financially stressed were able to issue new debt and get new loans because investors were so keen to buy up anything that offered them a yield in this era of quantitative easing, or even, you know, sovereign governments around the world. They were able to borrow very, very aggressively, even if they were somewhat risky. So we did see a huge buildup in debt. And now it's not just that the Federal Reserve is raising rates, that interest rates are going up, their borrowing costs are going up. We're also seeing a huge rise in inflation. So that's putting pressure on these companies as well.
What about traditionally safer investments such as treasury bonds? What's happening there?
I think that's one of the main concerns for the Fed and other central banks is that these parts of the market that we're seeing as super, super safe, gold standard investments, treasuries, gilts, the UK government bond markets, they're under a lot more stress right now. A lot of that is liquidity concerns. And there are a couple different reasons for that. One is that, you know, in the US, the amount of treasury debt has gone up enormously in recent years. So there's a lot more of it out there to fund the federal deficit. And the Federal Reserve is starting to step back from the market because they are trying to contain inflation, because they're trying to withdraw money from the system. So you've got a lot of debt, fewer buyers. And if you think about the US Treasury market, it's really the backbone of global financial markets. It's how mortgages are priced. It's how companies' debt is priced. It's how other countries that borrow in dollars, it's how that debt is priced. So it impacts so much of the global financial system. And if we do see liquidity really constrained, if we see treasury yields spiking, that has massive ripple effects for the global economy.
Well, on that front, earlier this week, the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development warned the Federal Reserve in particular that raising rates in the U.S. threatens developing countries. What's the relationship there? Why does raising rates in the U.S. affect the developing world?
Well, for a lot of developing countries, they're very reliant on borrowing in the U.S. dollar and borrowing from global investors. And basically, when the Federal Reserve starts to raise interest rates, investors look at that debt and think, okay, this is not as good of a deal as it used to be when I can get a much higher return on a treasury bond in the US. So we're seeing a lot of money pulled out of emerging markets, out of developing countries, and going back to the US. And at the same time, a lot of these countries borrowed in the US dollar. And that essentially means now that the dollar is going up, that their repayments have gotten much more expensive. But what we've heard from the UN, from the World Bank, so they are warning the Fed and other central banks that there are ripple effects, that they need to be cognizant of the strains this is going to put on poor nations that have become so dependent on US dollar funding on global investors to finance their budgets.
Chelsea Delaney is a reporter for the Journal based in London. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, the Bridge of Long Grove, Illinois. Idyllic? Yes. Historic? Indeed. Dangerous? Maybe. The covered bridge has a sign warning that clearance is 8 feet and 6 inches, but that has not stopped dozens of trucks from trying to squeeze under. At least 42, as of earlier this week, have either crashed or gotten stuck since the bridge reopened in 2020, reopened after it was demolished by a box truck. Here's Wall Street Journal senior Midwest reporter Joe Barrett.
This one shop owner, she's like 3 doors down from the bridge. She hears every crash from inside her shop. And then she runs out and takes 12 photographs. I mean, she had photos going back years of every accident that's happened to this bridge. And then there's a local brewery in town, and the owner has named multiple beers after the bridge. And he's got a drone that he sends over there to check out the trucks when they have their mishaps. He's named a bunch of his beers for these accidents. The first one was Too Tall IPA, which was named for the 2018 truck that took out the bridge. His most recent one is called Bad Move, which is celebrating all the U-Hauls that keep crashing into the bridge. There was also Bus Wedgie, which was a bus that got jammed under the bridge like within 24 hours of when they reopened it in 2020. It just keeps happening, and all they can do is kind of shake their heads.
And that's what's news for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Peter Granitz with the Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.